Okay, now, just for a warning, once again, as stated in the beginning of the message, I'm going to remind you, this message is a message with some pretty heavy content that is not appropriate for young ears. So, if you do have young ones about, once again, this is a reminder to be listening either to this message in private or get the young ones out of sound range, please. Okay, now the next one is very unique in what it's going to tell us. It's going to tell us about your wife being a companion and a part of a covenant, that she is part of your covenant. Now let's find out what it actually says about that. Let's look in Malachi chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Malachi chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Malachi chapter 2, verses 14 through 16.
Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion, and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously.
Okay. Now, you notice that the woman is called the... First he says not to deal treacherously against your wife, who is the your companion, and she is the wife of your covenant. Now, first off, we already know a wife is supposed to be a companion. But what does it mean to be the wife of your covenant? Well, we're so used to, in this culture in America, of a wife being... we're so used to having these contracts. Remember I mentioned at the beginning, this has already been so many discs in that you probably forgot it. Remember I mentioned... about that I said that I believe in marriages in the heart. Here is the proof, right here. You just read it in the verse. Marriage is not a contract. It is a covenant. In America, we believe strongly in having this piece of paper that says Joe Fred or Joe Frank and Susan Anderson got married on X date. Meaning that Joe Frank is the husband and Janet Anderson is the wife. And they got married on X date, on X month, on X year. And it's basically a contract, is when you really want to think about it, that says in a court of law that now that they're married, now we can tax them together as a couple. And under certain laws, da-da-da-da-da, in our state capitals, and then blah-blah-blah-blah-blah. Blah-blah-blah-blah-blah-blah-blah-blah, okay? However, a contract... Let me explain what a contract is for all of you out there who don't understand it, except for those lawyers who make lots of money off of us. A contract is a document that says, I will do such, and you will do such. I will do such, and you will do... And we spell out the details of that contract. And if you don't do such, and I don't do such, if I don't do such, you can take me to court. If you don't do such, I could take you to court. Basically, if I don't do my part, you could say, on me. Basically, that's what we've turned marriage into. We've got this piece of paper that says we're married, but the minute if I don't live up to your expectations as a husband, you could boot me out. And you get, and now they have these, what they call non-contested divorces. Why? Oh, well, we just couldn't work out our problems. Well, that ain't what the Bible said. You notice it said, don't deal treacherously with the wife of your covenant. And God hates putting away. See, that was never his plan. Remember what Jesus said just a little earlier. He said that was not the way it was meant from the beginning. Okay, now. But what is a covenant? Now, here's what I'm talking about. I believe in marriages in the heart. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a covenant marriage. I believe strongly in covenant marriages, the Bible way. What is a covenant marriage? A covenant is where you make a promise to the person you're planning to marry that says, for the rest of my life, I plan to marry so-and-so, and that I am not planning to leave, and that I am bound to you by God under all circumstances, and that is it. And the one breaking that contract, that covenant, is responsible to God, not the courts. That is a covenant. Remember when Abraham stood with the other fellow and they stood at the pillar and says, I am not going to come over this pillar to you to harm. And they poured out their offerings over to the pillar and they had their little offering. That was a covenant. They made this covenant. Now, it wasn't signed on a piece of paper, but they kept it. Well, the point that I'm making is covenants are designed as a contract is a piece of paper written up based upon distrust between the parties. A covenant is a non-written contract based upon trust between the parties. And that's the kind of marriages I prefer to deal in. I prefer to deal in the heart marriages, the covenant marriages between two parties that say, I love you and love you till death. That's the kind of marriages I prefer. Why? Because you're not supposed to deal, when you really have a real covenant marriage, you won't deal treacherously. Treacherous meaning mean, awful, nasty. You won't deal treacherously. Why? Because you know it's a covenant and not a contract. Oh, boy, here goes Dr. Broadbottom getting more of a cracking again. Let's first take a look at it. Let's take a look at the text, and then you'll see what I mean. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 30. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 30. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 30. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 30.
Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?
Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messias cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him.
Okay, Dr. Broadbottom, and you students of Baylor University worshiping Baal, we need to clarify a few things. First off, just like you, when someone who's different than you, you would have probably just walked away from this woman. And just like the disciples, ooh, what are you doing talking to her? Ew, icky. But Jesus didn't do that. He sat down and was even willing to drink a cup of water from her. Had no problem with it. Secondly, he let her know that he had something better for her than the water that was in that well. He wanted her to know he had living water for her. And then she asked him about it. Said, now, wait a minute, you ain't even got a dipper. You ain't got even a bucket. How in the world are you going to get the water? And he's like, now, wait a minute. You're talking about water that's going to perish and go away and may dry up, but I'm talking about something that's inside your soul. I'm talking about spiritual water that won't run dry. And then she goes, now, wait a minute. I perceive that you're a spiritual person. And then he tells her by asking a perturbable question, go call your husband. Now, here's where the nitpickers and Dr. Broadbottom like to nitpick. Call your husband. She goes, I don't have a husband. And he goes, you said right. Now, Dr. Broadbottom and them perceive this much, right, that obviously they think that she was messing around or committing adultery. No, obviously, she wasn't committing adultery. It doesn't say that at all. Obviously, what was happening here, she had now gotten with a man, as what they would like to dub. They say that she was shacking, living with a man that she was, quote, not married to, unquote, even though she had been divorced or even maybe her husbands had died, and now she was, quote, shacking up, unquote. That isn't what this says. says, the man thou hast. It doesn't say that she was shacking Dr. Broadbottom. It says, the man you have. What it's saying is, obviously, she was having a relationship with this guy, and she had not chosen to marry him. She hadn't chosen to do anything with him. And obviously, he was not her husband. That's what Jesus said. And she openly admitted that this guy was not her husband. Now, what did it say about something else key here? Did it say her other husbands had died? The other five husbands she had? Did it say they died? Did it say she was divorced? No. You notice I paused for that reason. I want you to think. Read your Bible. It does not say they were she was divorced, nor does it say they died. Although we could speculate and say they possibly were, it doesn't say so. It says that she had five husbands. It says that she had five husbands. Now, she may have still had those husbands at the time that she had this one. Because it was all in the past tense that he used all of those words, meaning that she had all these guys at one time. Very could have been. So, my point, he didn't say anything about adultery, in exception of this guy that she now has that he pointed out that. But obviously, she's saying, I don't have a husband, the other five must be dead or divorced. So, obviously, we could take from that text that obviously the other five are either dead or divorced. And now this last guy that she has, which is number six, is either she's shacking with him. We can't say that she's shacking, but we do know she has not made a commitment of marriage. We can take that, but we can't say she's shacking. We can't say that because it doesn't say she's shacking. It just says that she's obviously doing something that would be like in the marriage bed, but she hasn't chose to marry the man. She hasn't made a commitment. Neither has the man. So we need to make that plain here that she nor the man has made a commitment to be married. They have not made a commitment to be married. Let's keep that straight. Okay, what does it say about the last days in marriage? What does it say about the last days in marriage? Well, it tells us very plain what's going to happen in the last days in regards to marriage. Let's look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 9.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation.
Oh, good Lord. Don't get me preaching on that. Just don't get me preaching on that, because I will. a Catholic whore. Oh, Lord help us. If you don't see that in there, nobody does. Abstaining and forbidding to marry. You got your priests and your nuns. Well, nowhere in this message you're going to hear that. You're not going to hear that by far shot. And then, what else? Forbidding to eat meats. Oh, come on, Dr. Broadbottom. You students of Baylor University. How many books are you out there hearing, people? By these so-called doctors. One minute, you shouldn't eat eggs. Because they're high in cholesterol. And then a few years later, what you hearing? Oh, well, eggs aren't so bad for you if you eat just this portion of the eggs. You know what it all comes down to? It's the same thing in the churches. Money. I'll tell you why. It's all a big money-making operation. What happened is, first the meat growers were getting fat wallets, and the veggie growers saw most of their stuff rotting in the fields. And so they started to Washington. And so what happened? Washington stepped in, and the doctors helped them out by coming up with all these studies about how people ain't eating enough veggies. And they started telling you, you shouldn't eat meat. And all you got to eat is fish. And whole grains and blah, 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 blah. Guess what's going to happen? You watch and mark my words. You're going to almost see that I'm prophetic in this. When the wallets of you meat growers start getting thin, and you guys start whining to Washington, that you watch, there's going to be a bunch of studies about how important having meat in the diet, beef in the diet, all that is important for us. And you watch and see if, watch how fast Washington and all these doctors turn it around for you. And how all these diets will change. And books will start coming out. Well, we got to have more meat in our diet. You watch all the diet books change, too. Books will come flying. You know, that's why I don't even read diet books. Don't even want to hear the dumb things. Ask my wife. She'll tell you the truth. I don't want to hear the garbage. I don't want to hear that nonsense. I don't want to hear it. I'm just so sick of every time you pick up a diet book, every time you listen, it's all you hear right now at the present. Veggie, veggie, veggie this, veggie, veggie, veggie that. Fish, 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 fish. If people ate what they talk about in these books, you'd look like a vegetable fish. You'd have a bunch of vegetable fish walking around with fins. A fish-looking lettuce leaf. Give me a break. A lettuce tuna. A cabbage tuna, or a cabbage carp, whatever. Give me a break. Cabbage salmon, I don't know, but or cabbage broccoli, whatever. But you know, give me a break. But no, read the Bible. No creature is meant to be refused. If it be received with thanksgiving. All you got to know is how to prepare it and eat it in moderation. Ain't you read your Bible, Dr. Broadbottom? And all you doctors out there, didn't you read your Bible? It says, be temperate in all things. Ain't you learned anything? You could gain weight and get sick on nothing but lettuce. You could die on your own diet and gain too much weight and die. I could prove it to you. You don't believe me. Let a guy scarf himself to death on 8,000 calories of your kind of diet and watch him gain weight and had to be put in his casket with a heavy lift crane. I'll prove I'm right. Let him eat 8,000 calories of that kind of a diet that you're talking about, and I guarantee you he'll have the same kind of health problems. Diabetes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Shut up. It's not the kind of diet, it's how much you eat, you stupid. Open your stupid skulls up enough and put some real knowledge in there. It's not what you eat, it's how much you eat. I mean, you go out there, stupid. Why don't you go pour 8,000 gallons of gas in your tank without running the stupid car and see what happens? It don't take a genius. Duh. You can run out of gas with your car on idle in the driveway if you don't put gas in it. Duh. It don't take a rocket science, stupid. All you got to know is simple. What you put in, you must take out. And if you want to lose weight, you got to take out more than you put in. Duh. I think I know what to call you. My name is Stupid. Okay, now here comes a unique one. How about widows and what is known as widows indeed? The widows and what is known as widows indeed in the New Testament. Well, let's take a look and see who those are. Who are defined as those? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 through 16.
Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed.
Well, now, you catch some of this? It says, first of all, there are certain rules that a widow must, and I quote, must follow. In order to be part of that, quote, we could say, widow's club, or in the widow's group in the church, they cannot be accepted if they were not under 80, that is 60 years old. Number two, they had to be godly women. That is, they had to be women that were upright, living the life. They had to be able to teach the younger women. A woman who had only one husband, not had lost five husbands, no, just one. Why? Because if they had been younger, most likely, guess what they was going to be into? Auctioneer gossips in other men's matters. Gossip, gossip, gossip. And then what does it say? The reason they had to be willing, apt to teach is because that way they could teach the younger ones. They had to be 60 years old or more. And it says they had to be willing to serve. That's what it means by washing the saints' feet. Be willing to be a servant. And then what it says very clearly. If they had children that believed, the children were supposed to be charged with taking care of them. There are some widows out there who think that they should have the silver spoon in their mouth and that the church is supposed to take care of them just because they're a widow. I'm a widow. I'm a widow. Excuse me. You may be a widow, but if you're over 60 years old and you got children that believe, if those lazy bums ain't taking care of you, then you should be teaching those lazy bums what the Bible said. The Bible says you're supposed to be teaching. Read it very carefully. It says you're supposed to be teaching. That's your job. And you're not supposed to be charging the church. But a widow indeed is a woman who is over 60, has met all the qualification, and does not have any believing children at home, who has no more living relatives that are saved, and thus that's why the church could take care of those women who no longer have anyone to care for them, and thus that's what makes them and them alone, what the Bible calls widows indeed. Okay, now, did you know that marriage is to be undefiled? Undefiled? Well, let's find out what the Bible says about that. Let's look in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 4 through 8.
Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever.
Well, now, get that? See, it says the marriage bed is what's undefiled. But, you notice, it's whoremongers and adulterers. That's who God is going to judge. Why? Because adulterers, that's the ones that go outside of that marriage. And then, as you notice, as you go down, obey them that have the rule over you. Now, what's the rule? What happened back with Adam and Eve? He told Adam to have the rule over the woman. Now, for those women that don't like that, the rule does not mean that he's a dictator. Hello, men. It only means you set a guideline. Only a guideline. The only time God ever gave you dictatorship, men and women, was with creation. He said to have dominion over the animals, the birds, and stuff like that. But men, he never said that with your wives. He said you're only to have a rule. And that means to set a guideline. That's it. So, women, when he said that, and then he goes on to say, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because when he said, wants us to set a guideline, that's all. He doesn't expect us to be a bunch of dictators and men. When you do that, is it any wonder that the women want to run? Is it any wonder that marriages start going down the pot? Well, you treat your wife like a dog, of course she wants to run. It makes good sense. Oh, boy. You're going to think, oh, Lord, did you know that one person actually in the Bible was told not to take a wife? No, and we're not talking about Paul. Paul himself, that was his own belief on his own. okay? That was his own belief. He wasn't told by God or directed by God. That was his own belief on his own, okay? No, this is actually someone God told. God told you are not to take a wife. Well, who was that? Well, let's find out. Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 1 through 4.
The word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bare them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land. They shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried. But they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine. And their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth.
Ooh, boy. He had a good reason, I guess. Didn't he? God says, look, the women and the men in this place, meaning Jerusalem and all that, they're going to die off because God said they was going to. And so you're not going to have a wife. You're not going to have any kids because I don't want you to. He gave him the answer as to why. He says, I don't want you to, Jeremiah. You're not going to have a wife. You're not going to have any kids. Not going to have any offspring. Now I'm going to give you the reason why, and this is the answer why. I don't want you to. So, Jeremiah, don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. And I can guarantee you, Jeremiah never had a wife from that place. All right, now for something that's really going to hit hard. How about the downward spiral of sin? The downward spiral of sin. Meaning, when you start on that grade that starts going down, you just keep going. You start into sin, you just never keep stopping. Not unless you put on the brakes. You start going down that hill, down that grade around the mountain. You just can't stop. Not unless you got good brakes. And most of us don't. When we want it, we just keep doing it. Well, let's take a look at where it's at. And let's read about it, and then you'll see what I mean. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Oh, boy. Now, do you see it? Do you see how the spiral goes? Do you see how the mountain starts out? They start out at the top. They know God. They know God. They know Him like the back of their hand. But then what happens, Dr. Broadbottom? Yeah, you knew Him. You knew His word. But then what'd you do? You didn't glorify Him as God. History proves that, just like we're talking about with this marriage thing. You knew what marriage was all about, but then, oh, well, it's sinful, it's wicked, blah, 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 and you just started twisting what the book said. You didn't glorify Him as God. You weren't thankful, and you became vain in your imaginations. And God said, okay, Buster Brown, I'll let you have your way. You became vain in your imaginations. Next thing you know, you started to worship the creature. Let's see. Four-footed beast. You had Sokar, the Egyptian gods. You had Buddha. Hello. You had your money tithe buckets. You had all that. Next thing you know, you had your golden calf. Oh, yeah. Hello. Am I starting to hit home here? Then if that didn't work, then you became even more vain in your imagination. You see how the spiral keeps going down? Then what happened? That wasn't good enough for you. Then you got into your sin. Well, we couldn't have marriage. We had to have our, instead of a covenant, we had to have a contract. Write it up. Go into the courts. Why? Because that ain't good enough. We got to make sure people write it up so we can get our taxes and all that. And then, oh, well, let's make it easier for people to get a divorce. Bill of divorcement. Oh, well, non-contested. Spiral got worse. Next thing you know, you got homos and queers out there. And then at the end, you know what it said? It says, notice the list there at the end. And as they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, you turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which aren't convenient. Think about it. It ain't convenient to be a homo and a queer and all that. Yeah, I know. Hate speech. Well, too bad. But think about it. And then he gave you a list. You notice it said fornicators. It didn't say adulterers. It said fornicators because it's the same thing. Amen. And then it goes down through the list and says covenant breakers. It didn't say contract breakers or divorce writers. It said covenant breakers. You break in covenant when you do fornication. When you're having it outside of the marriage covenant, that's adultery. That's fornication. Now, if you had a multiple marriage, that's not fornication because you're still married to those women. If a man had two wives or a wife had two husbands, as possibly the woman did in John chapter 4, okay, well, she's not the Samaritan woman. She could have had those five husbands at one time. But the whole point is, or as we're going to see later in this message, there were people that had multiple wives at one time. Now, They were not covenant breakers when they had those multiple wives. And I'm going to prove it. Nor were they committing adultery. Nowhere did God say they were committing adultery when they had more than one mate at one time. Not once. Not once was it classified adultery. Not once. So Dr. Broadbottom and all those that follow him at Baylor University, worshiping Baal, sit back if you got the guts and listen to the message. Otherwise, prove me right that you can't handle the preaching. The fact is, God's word is God's word. And we're going to show you from God's word that the truth is the truth. The downward spiral of sin started when you did not glorify God as God, and you started all this other junk. God is God no matter how much you like it or not. So, I said it before, I'll say it again. You may not be enjoying yourself, but I'm having a blast. All right, now, let us go into our next point, which is a comparative set of scriptures. There are four of them. And let's talk about those who do not have a part in the kingdom of God. Those who do not have a part in the kingdom of God. Let's first look at the scriptures and then find out who they are. The first one is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
Okay, now the second of these four comparative is found in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Now for the third of our comparative scriptures, about those who will not enter the kingdom of God is found in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12.
Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing.
Now, for the last of these comparative scriptures about those who will not have a part in the kingdom of God is found in the little book of Jude. Jude, and as you, those who know the Bible, Jude has only one chapter, so there's no chapter number, so it would be verses 4 through 8. Jude, verses 4 through 8.
For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities.
All right. Now, what have we learned? Well, first of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us something interesting in these comparative verses. It tells us that no man should go beyond and defraud his brother, or we could say sisters. Well, I'm not going to be one of them. That's why we are doing this long, drawn-out study, Dr. Broadbottom, and all you that study with him at Baylor University, worshiping Baal. We're going to find out what God's Word had to say. Now, what have we learned? Well, all of these to a comprehensive yes. Every one of them say the same thing. Now, they all say what? Fornication. Which is what? Well, if you got something that's round, rubber, you put it on a rim that goes on a car, you fill it with air and it's got tread on it. One says Goodyear, one says Firestone, or Michelin, whatever, has that name brand on it. What are they? Better known as tires. just because they're round rubber and filled with air on a steel rim or aluminum rim or whatever. And you fill it with air just because it's got a name brand on it doesn't mean that it ain't called a tire. Okay? Well, just because one's labeled adultery and the other one's labeled fornication doesn't mean they're not the same thing. Well, every one of these in these texts said fornication. Now, what is that? It's the act of sex outside of a quote, marriage union, unquote. Had nothing to do with two people, both of which that were, quote, unmarried, unquote. Get that through your thick skull, Dr. Broadbottom, and those students underneath him. Now, we've been saying that all along. Now, every one of these said those that are not going to be a part of the kingdom of God had to do with those who are committing adultery or fornication. Had nothing to do with those who had multiple marriages. In this case, that had, let's say, two husbands, two wives, whatever. Why? Because they were married to both those people. Not that they were married to one person and messing with the other. Now, if they were messing with the other and unmarried to them, then, sorry, they were committing fornication and or adultery. Okay. Now, we understood that. Now, then we get into Jude. Said there's people that creep in unawares. I'm not one of those. Why? Those are those guys that creep in unawares, tell you a doctrine, like Dr. Broadbottom at Baylor University, worshiping Baal. Why? Because he gives you this little doctrine, but when you study the book, you find out there's problems with it. Well, what doctrine? Well, example. Oh, well, you got to give 10%. But when you look at the book, you find out Malachi 3:10 says it's supposed to be meat. Well, Dr. Broadbottom, if that's the case, it's supposed to be meat, that there may be meat in my house. Well, then what do you do with Genesis chapter 1 where it says, and all the trees of the field are supposed to be meat for you. I suppose those are money trees then. Every time the word meat is used in the Bible, I suppose that was money. Huh? See, it don't cut it. See, when you study, take one word in the Bible and you study it out, like we're doing here. The word adultery and the word fornication, you put it together, you find all of a sudden Dr. Broadbottom's theory about adultery and fornication, it don't hold water. When he says, well, fornication is one thing, adultery something else, it don't hold water. Now, does it? See, that's how you learn whether Dr. Broadbottom's been telling you the truth. You do an in-depth study. Now, that's what it talks about. There's those that creep in unaware. They lie. They sneak their little cult in, or their little doctrine in, and you find out it's not true. Now, and it says, as Sodom and Gomorrah, what did they have? They had fornication. What was that? Well, obviously we know. They were messing around with people they weren't married to. They also had what? Lesbianism, homosexuality, okay, the queers and them are all mad at me now. Hate speech. Oh, well, too bad. Get over it. Get glad again. Too bad, boys. I ain't going to change for you. Too bad. Tough rocks, as my wife would say. And then, now this one. It says they have their filthy dreamers. Well, I'm going to cut in on this one a little bit. because I'm going to talk about it here, and then I'm also going to talk about it in part two about the actual sex part. It has to do with marriage, because it goes like this. What about those who are planning to be married? Well, isn't it adultery? Isn't it fornication? If you go to bed, and what about, isn't it adultery and sin and fornication? If you go to sleep and you have a, quote, filthy dream, unquote, a dirty dream about having sex with somebody that you're not married with? Hold the bus. Back up the truck. You need to stick that thing in reverse and back it up a couple million feet here, okay? Before you plow into the wrong building, okay? Because it goes like this. Dreams in the Bible, when you look, yes, had messages from God, but there were hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people. But you don't see all of their dreams recorded. On the average, a person dreams, they tell us, at least 5 to 10 times per night. Now, open your Bible and read the number of people that you see in that Bible alone. Now, okay, Methuselah alone lived to be what, 900 years? 900 years. 365 days times 900 years. Times what? 10 dreams per day. Okay, let's see. 10 dreams per day times 365. That'd be 3,650 dreams per year times 900 years. Do the math. Where's all those dreams? If they're so important, why aren't they recorded in God's holy writ? Do 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 do. I'll tell you why they're not there. Because not all dreams are important. Because here's why. Not all dreams are prophetic, nor all dreams relevant. Here's the dreams that God intends for us to know about. The ones that are prophetic and the ones that he intends to use. As you notice, there's very few dreams that were written in the Holy Writ. Now, if you notice, those that were written in the Holy Writ, in the Holy Bible, those were the dreams written by God that, if you notice, they were dreams that were recurrent and they had common themes. So, if a person has a dream that is recurrent with a common theme, you can guarantee God is speaking to you. But if you only had the dream once and it's not been recurrent, I got news for you. It's most likely the most stupid dream you've ever had, and you might as well just put it out of your mind. Now, if it's about something that you're curious about, the best thing to do is just pray about it and leave it to God. Okay? That's the best way to do it. Because worry is a sin. See, it says that in the last days there would be filthy dreamers. Now, well, what about those dirty dreams? What if I had a dream about having sex with so-and-so and it was, and they were, wait a minute. That's the devil. He's going to use those kind of dreams. But the fact is, just because we have natural inclinations in our bodies doesn't mean that those dreams mean that we're sinful, beings to the point where we're going to hell. What we need to do is look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. It makes it very plain that, think about it, if, as the charismatics want to say, that if you was to be living for God all day, you fell asleep, had a dream about you making out with some cute chick that you're not married to, whether you're married or not, and then all of a sudden, 2 minutes later, you had a heart attack after that dream. And you was to go to hell. Read Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. It says, for it is impossible. Now, if it's impossible for you as a Christian, if God says something is impossible, how impossible is that? That's pretty impossible. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. What does it mean to be enlightened? It means to be accept Christ. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and the Word of God. That means you're obviously saved. And the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away. What does that mean? Okay, your filthy dream. They shall fall away to renew them again to repentance. What does that mean? To get saved. Seeing they crucified themselves again, the Son of God afresh. What does it mean? You'd have to have Christ come back down, live another 33 years of a perfect life, be crucified, die again, be crucified again, die again, be put in a tomb again, raised again third day. What? You'd be putting him again to an open shame. That's what it said. Read your Bible. Christ ain't going to do it. That's why it's impossible. Guess what? You might as well be a Catholic. You might as well be a Roman Catholic and put Christ up on your crucifix. Because that's exactly what you're doing with your Roman Catholic doctrine of, well, if I have a, quote, filthy dream out of Jude, and be a filthy dreamer having a sexy dream. Oh, shut up. A filthy dream is nothing more than an image your brain conjures up because you're made out of sinful flesh. Why don't you just put First John 1:9 into action? When you wake up, huh? You know you're a sinner, just like I am. When you wake up, 1 John 1:9 into action, saying, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I don't like these filthy dreams. I don't like to have them. And even though, Lord, I know that I'm not literally committing adultery because obviously, I didn't really have sex, but it's still in my dreams, and it bothers me, and I feel dirty afterward. Lord, would you help me to have a peaceful sleep and not to have these dreams? Why can't you put 1 John 1:9 into action instead of trying to say, oh, well, I'm going to be lost and going to hell. Oh, shut up. Why don't you just do me a favor and shut up? Okay, now for a little comparison between the godly and the ungodly. We find that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 22.
But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Broadbottom, you're getting told on. You and your students over at Baylor University worshiping Baal. Yep, you and your tithe bucket getting a cracking. See that? Your covetous way. How you covet the old bucket. Yeah. That's why you want that bucket. Because why? You want to have the money. And that's why you like your adulterous ways and living your sin. Why? Because of money. suck up the money, have his, hey, oh, yeah, it's okay. Live in sin. Oh, you don't care if a person's living in adultery, having affairs out of the, quote, marriage, unquote, just so long as they put the money in the bucket. However, however, if somebody was doing it and they weren't putting a dime in the bucket, oh, you'd sure enough have a fit then. Oh, well, then it's sin. Oh, if the little boy and the little girl, young teenage boy and young teenage girl, they ain't putting no money in the bucket. Oh, well, that's fornication. That's adultery. Oh, shut up. See, there's a difference to you. No, there ain't no difference, little boy, Dr. Broadbottom. See, it said in the last days that they'd creep in, just like you would, you snob. And see, why? Because of your sin, because you want that money. And you'd sneak in your false cults, your false lies. When in all honesty, the truth is, see, it said that here in this text, if God didn't spare the angels, do you think, Dr. Broadbottom, he's going to spare you? Why do you think that I took the time, not days, months, but I took years to study this out, make sure that I knew I was headed the right direction in this message, make sure it was God's word cover to cover? Because I wasn't going to tell a bunch of pack of lies like you've been telling for thousands of years. No. Because the Bible, it's very serious here. It says if God didn't spare the angels, but reserve them for chains of darkness. You think he's going to spare me? Oh, no. See, as it said in the book of Timothy, hey, there's some serious consequences for a preacher. Furthermore, you go back and you go back to the law, the book of the law, a prophet, God says, you make a prophecy, you give a something in the name of the Lord, you'd say something that was supposed to be said in the name of the Lord and it wasn't true, one strike, you know, in baseball, you know, you get three strikes, you're out. No, that ain't the way it works with God. One strike, you're dead. Well, sorry, boys, I know the seriousness of this matter. So, if God ain't going to spare the angels, he sure as heck ain't going to play games with me, Dr. Broadbottom, but you think he will. Well, you go ahead and play with God. I ain't. I realize here that it says, you guys want to play around with it, but I don't. So, the truth is, there's a difference between the godly and the ungodly. The godly say, sex outside of a marriage partnership is sin. And I emphasize, marriage partnership is sin. While on the other hand, you, Dr. Broadbottom, you try to say, well, sex of any kind, and sometimes even that within a marriage, is sin. Well, excuse me, little boy, you haven't read your Bible.